Good evening.
Good evening.
Is you?
I'm sorry, you broke up.
I was asking if it was just you.
I think so, but I just got on. So, yeah, it did, okay. Because it said, yes, I am the first one now that I remember the recording, what it said.
Okay. We'll wait a minute or so.
Okay.
Interesting.
What's that?
Well, usually we don't have to wait this long, so.
But there's a lot going on with the president-elect, so I don't know if they're watching TV. They may not want to leave the television. But it's also, you know, it's also busy time of year. But it's always a busy time of year. Every day is a busy time of year. I will tell you this, Sunday is our family get-together for Tony's 80th birthday. I set the time for 2 o'clock on purpose, so I may be able to do part of the lesson. And then Monday I had the board meeting, so I won't be able to make the mini Zohar class. And I think I'm catching up on some sleep, so I'm feeling that I'm not going to just drop off to sleep any minute anymore since I had the surgeries. So I think
you're recovering from that.
Right. This morning I didn't wake up till 5:20, which is closer, you know, before I had been waking up to the old body clock time. So I think I'm getting... I still have 2 more weeks of drops in one eye, so.
Yeah, the drops are not the same as the assault on your, you know, on your body that's done by the procedure, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, the main thing is I just had the cataracts removed. I didn't get any kind of special lenses, and mainly because several of my friends had problems, and they paid like $5,000 extra, and they still need glasses, and I wore trifocals, so I don't see too well, and I can't get the glasses until, you know, after the new year because of the timing of going to the doctor and finishing up them. So that's the only thing. I have to be really careful because the trifocal vision isn't there. I was very dependent on my glasses, so.
I do understand. Considering that I have two sets of glasses, one for the computer and one for the that are bifocals for reading and distance. So,
well, I'm kind of doing that, and then I can't find them. I've lost them. That's why I said, oh, I'll just wear glasses and wear them all the time and not have to worry about that. I spent 30 minutes the other day looking for where I had left them last. So
what did you...
What did I decide?
Yes.
I decided not to talk to the rabbi because I woke up with a sentence a couple of mornings ago that I had told you, which you were helping me with. Why was I afraid of the wheelchair? When I told you I had been fighting the vision of a wheelchair since I was 55. Well, I've been fighting Reform Judaism since before I was 55. And I felt like it was the same answer. It was really binding by striking and just letting it go. And although I do feel like if I'm asked personally.
Just somebody just came on.
Okay.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Please join me in saying the Anabatola.
Okay, I'm going to mute.
Anabatoa Gedula Chimincha Tati Zerula Aleph Gimel Yitach Tzadi Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Tacharein No Ra Ufrei Shayim Sintet Nun. The letters of the month of Kislev, the Gimel, that created the planet Tzedek, the planet Jupiter, the planet of righteousness, and the Samach that created the constellation Keshet, the astrological sign of Sagittarius, the archer or the bow or the rainbow. The Samach and the Gimel have a gematria of 63, which connects us to this energy store of the Sephirah of Binah. Na gibor dor sheyehudcha kevavat shamrem. Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin. Barchem tacharem rachameh tzidkatcha tamid gamlem. Betet Reish Tzadi Tav Gimel. Chasin kadosh berov tuvcha nael adata. Het kuf bet, het nunayan. Yachid geye, lamcha pene, zochre kidushata, yid gimulamed, he zayan kuf. Shavatenu kabel, ushmatia katenu, yodeya, talumot, shin kufav. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We're now going to separate between the right column and the left column energies, between the positive and the negative. We're going to utilize the 13 attributes of mercy to accomplish this. Adonai Yohei Wahei Adonai Yohei Wahei El Rachum Vechanun Erech Apaim Berav Chesed Be'emet Notze Chesed La'alafim Notze Awon Va'afesha Vechata'av V'nakei. we're now going to read from the verses that connect us to the energy of the years. This year of 5777 is the year of the goat, and there are two verses that connect to that energy. Well, the first is Lamentations chapter 3, verse 52. Tzod saduni katzipor o yevaychinam. The first letters of those five words can be parsed into three Hebrew words, tzatz ki ach, which means to appear like brothers. The final letters of those five words can be permutated into two Hebrew words, dir yam, which is translated as a sea of tenants. These five newly created words and these translations help us to understand the energy of the year of the goat, because they're all connected. There is a second verse that has the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Zion, concealed within it. The letters of the name of the year are separated by seven letters each. That verse is Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. Kim ba Adonai Yohewahe Elohechem Tadabaku Kasher Asitem Ad Hayom Hazeh. The year 5776, which has the energy of the year of the pause, has two verses also. The first of those is 2 Chronicles. Chapter 29, verse 34. Racha Kohanim Hayu limat willo yachlu lehavshit et kol haolot vayechaskum achechem halvim ad kelot hamlacha v'ad yitkadshu hakohanim ki halvim yishrei levav lehitkadesh. This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letter of these words, we're able to permute it into eight names of God. Adonai Yohe Wahe La La He Wa 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 Yola Yo Wa La Me Hey 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 Aka Are Kasa. The second verse for the year 5776 is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bichu ba Adonai Yohewahe Ade ad ki biya Yohe Adonai Yohewahe Tzur olami. The year 5775, the year where death is swallowed up forever as a potential. There's three verses, the first of which is Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tishem imeni lo tarpeni ad bili ruki. 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru, Udu, Mikol Hamachavoya, Asher Yitchabe, Cham Moshavtem, Eli El Nahon, Wichalakti Yitchem, Wichaya Im Yeshno, Varetz Vichipasti, Oto Bekol Alfe Yehuda. And the third verse is also from Job. chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo la netzach yoved roav yomru vayo. The year 5774, the year of peace in the Middle East, there's only one verse, and that is 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wisamti makom le'ami Yisrael untati v'shachan tafta v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yosifu v'nei avla la'anoto ka'asher barishona. We're now going to read a verse from the Zohar that has the energy of certainty. It's from Parasha Yitro, Pasuk 29. And we'll start with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kudsha barichu ishkinte bidchilu urchimu udchilu udchilu urchimu le'akta l'shem yud he bevav he b'yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael limud Torah mitzvah La sok Torah mitzvah. Vayehino am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maasei adenu konenei aleinu maasei adenu konenehu. Rabbi Abba Amar Bekama Atar Tanenan Dekucha Barichu Kol Ma De'aved Leila Witata Kolaihu Kishot v'yovada, dikshot v'leid lach mila, b'alma divae, barnash v'dachya, le'ya mineya, ulan haga be'ya, kelana dehakulhu, ovada dikshot, inun v'kola, it's the rich be alma. We're going to scan the 72 names of God at this point. And then the 72 names from the Tzaddikim. The Tzaddikim who left today, tonight, which is the 15th of Kislev. Rabbi Meshulam Roth, Rabbi Yaakov of Lublin, Rabbi Shaul Yedida Elazar Tob, Rabbi David Lieb Schwartz of B'nai Brak, Rabbi Menachem Kalish of Amshinov, and I recommend reading the story that's on our website for this sage. In the eighth verse of the Ana B'Koach, we say in a whisper. the class tonight is on advanced reincarnation. And I believe we're starting with Chapter 2, Section 4. And that can be found on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. I believe it's row 11, fourth, second column from the left, where it says Advanced Reincarnation Classes. And when that happens, I believe it's Class 6C. We'll open up to Chapter 3, Section 1. And then to scroll down to let me verify it. It's Class 6B, I believe. And that opens up to Chapter 2, Section 4, the Ibur of Righteous Souls. Sometimes it is possible, even in this late period of history, for the Ruach of a righteous Tzaddik, even from one of the forefathers, to come in as an Ibur. It will all depend upon the level of the mitzvot being performed by the person. Some mitzvot have the power to draw down the nefesh of a righteous tzaddik into an Ibur, whereas others can draw down the ruach of the tzaddik. Always remember, the word Ibur means pregnancy, and in reincarnation, it's talking about a soul that comes into a body, but not in the normal way at birth, but sometime after birth, and it's there until it accomplishes its work, when it will leave, or if the person chooses to sin, to do a mistake, it will leave even before it accomplishes its work. Continuing to read. It is also possible for a person to receive the nefesh of one righteous person, and after that, the merit of another nefesh from another righteous person, even greater than the first. In such a case, he will have his own nefesh, the nefesh of the first righteous person acting as his ruach, and the second higher nefesh acting in the place of his neshama. Thus, in one lifetime, he can merit a ruach and a neshama, though not his own. My commentary. It is a good thing to contemplate what mitzvah will bring which higher level soul. As an example, and do not consider this your answer, contemplate for yourself Avraham Avinu, who developed astrology and was taught by Hashem that the astrological influences can be overcome. This occurs on Rosh Chodesh. Perhaps the mitzvah of participating in the three aspects of the new moon will bring down the nefesh of the ruach of Avraham Avinu. Continuing to read. Or perhaps the nefesh will be perfected to the point that after already receiving the nefesh of a righteous person, he will merit the ruach of a second righteous person, even possibly the ruach of Abraham the patriarch. There is no generation in which there is not someone like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Samuel, and others. In this case, the ruach of the second tzaddik will act as his neshama, and the nefesh of the first tzaddik will act as his ruach. Now, I'm not taking the time to explain all the different levels and the code words, and because we've gone over this repeatedly. The nefesh is the life force energy. The ruach is the emotional level related to our souls, and it represents a particular level of consciousness. And the neshama is a higher level, a greater desire to receive. So keep in mind these code words when you hear them, until they become second nature to you. Otherwise, it becomes quite difficult to understand what is being taught by the Ari in these classes. There is no pen that will prove sufficient to record all the details in a book. Nevertheless, an understanding person will comprehend and make the necessary inferences on his own. In summary, based upon the tikkun and purification of a particular nefesh, it can even merit a neshama from the earliest generations, including the most elevated of all, and it can happen even in this generation of ours. Furthermore, it is exactly the same when a nefesh and a ruach reincarnate together and become rectified, but are unable to acquire their neshama without first dying and reincarnating. They can receive the nefesh, the ruach, or the neshama of a righteous tzaddik as an ibur, and it will act as their neshama. All the details that were described in the case of the nefesh alone that has completed its tikkun will apply here also. On occasion, it can happen that all three levels of soul will reincarnate together and become rectified. Then the nefesh or the ruach of a righteous tzaddik may impregnate him as an ibur. When he leaves this world, he will ascend to the same level as that righteous tzaddik that came to him as an ibur. In the world to come, they will actually be on the same level. Although his own soul was not originally on the same level as that of the righteous tzaddik, he has now merited ascending to that level forever. This is the inner meaning of what is written in the introduction to the Zohar Bereshit 7a. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai fell on his face, and he saw Rav Hamuna Saba. He said that in that world, the world that is coming, both he and Rav Hamuna Saba would be shining together. Since the soul of Rav Hamuna Saba was within Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai as an ibur, they would be on the same level in the world that is coming. This is enough. That's the Ari suggesting that there's enough material there. There's more that he could teach, but not right now. My commentary. Why do you think that Rabbi Chaim Vital wrote, "This is enough"? The hint. Remember that the Hebrew word for the word enough is "die," as in the song "Dayenu." Would anybody like to answer now? Also, remember earlier, he said or implied, these rules are too numerous to include all of them. Could he be referring to there is sufficient information above to extrapolate the rules for yourself. That's the end of section 4. Are there any questions? The reason for the Ibur of a righteous soul, chapter 2, section 5. Ibur occurs for two reasons. First, through the Ibur of the righteous, the nefesh of a person can become rectified to the level of the nefesh of that righteous tzaddik. In the world that is coming, he will ascend to that level, since the righteous tzaddik will have helped him to add mitzvot and holiness to his life. This reason serves the person receiving the Ibur himself. The second reason is for the sake of the righteous tzaddik, who was the Ibur, or is the Ibur. By helping the other person to perform mitzvot and rectification, he gains a portion in those actions. This is the sod, the secret of what Chazal wrote. Great are the righteous people, for even in death they merit children. In other words, when they cause the person to increase his merit, they become like fathers who guide and help. And this is to his merit, the merit of the person that they're in Ibur with, and also to the merit of the tzaddik who is the Ibur. The righteous tzaddik who has entered as an Ibur is like a spiritual internal navigation system for the host person. For this service, the tzaddik will also receive reward through the mitzvot he is helping the person to perform and the holiness that he is helping to increase. My commentary. Do you think it is from this comment by Rabbi Teicher that other Kabbalists learn that a tzaddik or a righteous person is someone who does the right thing? Or do they learn this from other places and other hints? The righteous person which enters a person and assists him during his life as an Ibur and not as a Gilgul easily attains reward and is distant from loss. This, the phrase easily attains reward and is distant from loss, is an expression used in the Talmud regarding the laws of monetary investments and interest. It is borrowed here to describe the secure benefit accruing to the righteous soul in the circumstances of the Ibur. Every time the person does a mitzvah, he, the righteous soul, receives reward. This is the secret of what is written. A righteous person receives his reward and the reward of his friend in the Garden of Eden. Understand this deep secret well, though now is not the time to discuss it at length. My commentary. In the above paragraph, they discuss a section of the Talmud called Chagigah. Chagigah in the Talmud is a section that is highly recommended to study for someone who wants to learn to be a prophet. In Chagigah is the famous story of the four who entered Pardes, the garden, which is a metaphor dealing with traveling to other dimensions and worlds. Continuing to read, the righteous person receives the reward for having performed mitzvot during his own lifetime, and for those he helps his friend perform as while he is in an Ibur inside of the other person. And I would like to make a comment when you hear us read the word reward, It's not a reward. It's not a punishment. It's cause and effect. The cause is doing of a mitzvah. The effect is to receive light, to receive pleasure, to receive benefit. It's not truly a reward in the sense that we use the idea of a reward today. Continuing to read. On the other hand, if the host person does evil, the righteous soul will not suffer any punishment or loss, since he only came to help him, not to cause him evil. On the contrary, if this person negates what he rectified, then the righteous soul will leave him. Thus the righteous tzaddik easily attains reward for his assistance in the performance of mitzvot. At the same time, he is distant from loss, because he will not suffer any detriment or pain from the sins of the host, nor need to participate in any of the host's sufferings or chaos. If a person continues to act righteously, then the righteous soul will remain. The secret, the sod of Ibur, is that it occurs during a person's lifetime, and therefore does not bind the nefesh of the righteous tzaddik to the body. This is unlike a nefesh that reincarnates, that enters as a gilgul from the time of birth, and is unified and bound with the body without exiting from there until death. On the other hand, the nefesh of the righteous tzaddik enters as an ibur willingly and leaves at will. If the person continues to act righteously, then the righteous soul will remain there in order to receive a portion in the actions of the person. It will remain there until the host dies, when they will both go up to the same place, as mentioned previously. However, if the person does evil, then the righteous soul will become disgusted with this union and leave it. He is not permanently there, but borrowed, like a guest who remains with his host until he feels it is time to leave. For the same reason, the righteous tzaddik will not feel any pains that may occur to the host person, and he does not have to suffer them, because he is not attached to the body. The body is only borrowed. His ruach and neshama will be worthy to be clothed by this nefesh. The rule is that a person who performs a mitzvah of great importance can merit an ibur of the nefesh of a righteous tzaddik from an earlier generation. As a result, it is possible for him to become rectified and purified to the point that his nefesh will actually become transposed onto the same level as that of the righteous tzaddik. Afterwards, the person will have to rectify his ruach and neshama to such an extent of purity that they will be worthy to be clothed by this nefesh. My commentary. This is one of the reasons that my teachers taught me, and I teach you, that for certain tools to work, and other tools to continue to work, it is necessary to continue to grow spiritually. When one rests on his laurels, some of the tools stop working as an incentive to start your spiritual work again. This rule applies to an ibur and a gilgul, and also in other areas of the gilgul. Do you understand the meaning and difference between the terms ibur and Gilgul. The word that's being translated as to be clothed indicates the Kabbalistic concept of enclothement, kitlabshut, and comes from the root that means to wear, as when it is said he wears warm clothes, or he wore a new suit. Derived from it, for example, is the Hebrew word levush, which means garment or clothing. The concept of hitlabshut is actually a derivative of the concept of parzufim, both of which are among the most important and innovative ideas in the Lurianic Kabbalah. Hitlabshut refers to the fact that the parzufim, or parts of the parzufim, are ensconced or enclosed one within the other, or dressed one with upon the other. We will explain hitlabshut in more detail and more expansiveness as we go on. Then he will actually become transposed in his entirety onto the level of the righteous tzaddik, having ascended beyond the original root level of his soul, from whence he came. All of this is the reason for the help and assistance of the righteous soul. My commentary. In Kabbalah, it is taught that the vessel in the endless world before the world of Tikkun and the vessel in the endless world after the world of Tikkun remains unchanged, except for the disappearance of the illusion called bread of shame. So how can a soul exceed his original root level? This is a question that I am asking. And the answer to that is he doesn't. It's just getting to a higher level, which is the same level that he came from in the endless world. Here's an article by Rabbi Moshe Miller about Parzufim. Parzufim is typically described, and this is my commentary quickly, Parzufim means faces, plural of face, and it represents a complete structure of 10 sephirot. Parzufim are compound structures of the sephirot. A parzuf is a metaphorical figure of human likeness, used to represent the expansion of an individual sephirah, or also a group of sephirot, into an independent configuration that has 10 sephirot of its own. This is arranged such that each sephirah contains within itself aspects of all the 10 sephirot, and each aspect is further subdivided into 10 again. So it's in essence, as a commentary, you can have 3 levels, but no more. And this is the source of the rule in the laws of Kashrut, having to do with the primary vessel and the secondary vessel and the tertiary vessel, the 3 vessel levels that allows you to drink tea on Shabbat. Even the water in that 3rd vessel may be hot enough and still be cooking, but it's considered as if it's not because of this understanding of the 3 levels of the Parzufim. As such, the Parzufim represent the rectification of 2 flaws that's built into the world of Tohu, the immature state of the vessels and their lack of interrelationship, not being enclosed one within the other. Indeed, the two primary features of the Parsufim are their fully expanded vessels and their interrelationship with one another, such that they are even described by names that characterize the way they function as complex structures and the way they interact with other Parsufim. For example, Abba, the Father, as the Parsuf of Chachma, and Ima, literally Mother, as the Parsuf of Bina, the two of which interact with each other to give birth to a son, Zerantin, and a daughter, Malchut. My commentary. Have you ever asked yourself the question, why is a Sephirah named what it is named, or a Parsuf, or any other Kabbalistic tool or teaching? If not, go back to the beginning of your studies and start doing so. This is an important Kabbalistic lesson and tool for you to learn even more about Kabbalah and about yourself. Continuing to read. In the universe of Parsufim, it may be said that the chief dynamic of creation is not evolution, but rather interaction. This means that higher strata of reality are constantly impinging upon lower strata and affecting them like the soul within a body, thereby infusing every element of creation with an inner force that transcends its own position within the universal hierarchy. My commentary. The Kabbalistic concept of female waters, Mayim Duchrim, implies that the lower strata also impinges on the higher strata and infects them as well. Does it work in both directions? If yes, why did he not say so? Is it an oversight? My commentary. Hidlabshut, or enclosement, is an important Kabbalistic teaching of the Ari, Rabbi Isaac Luria. The above is the only explanation that you will receive. It is important to understand this intuitively, especially when you start interacting with the Sephirot in your meditations. Are there any questions about this concept right now? If not now, then if you ever have a question about this concept, make sure you get it answered, since a lack of understanding may lead you astray. Chapter 2, Section 6, Soul Combinations. It is also possible for the nefesh of a person to ascend until his nefesh will be from the world of Atzilut. Generally speaking, the nefesh is from Asiyah, the ruach is from Yetzirah, and the neshama is from Bariyah. However, on a more specific level, each world has its own levels of nefesh, ruach, and neshama. My commentary. Do you remember the nomenclature? NRN, Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama. Also remember that there could be Chaya and Yeshida. How about the nomenclature Briah, Yetzirah, and Asiyah? This refers to the worlds Briah, Yetzirah, and Asiyah. Do you remember the difference between a Sephirah, a world, and a Parsuf? A world is a Sephirah which has some, if not all, of the fulfillment for the desire of that sephirah. A partsuf is a sephirah structure that has 10 internal sephirot, which is a complete structure. Continuing to read. This is not something new, as we learned in the first chapter. Each world is part of an overall general system, while at the same time it is a smaller version of the same thing. Hence it can be that sometimes the nefesh ruach neshama of a person is from Asiyah, Yetzirah, and Beriah. My commentary. Remember the Kabbalistic teaching, as above, so below, and as below, so it is above. This is the religious language for the scientific term hologar. Hopefully this starts to help you relate the teachings of Kabbalah to the language of science. Continuing to read. Hence it can be that sometimes the nefesh, ruach, and neshama of a person is from Asiyah, Yetzirah, and Beriah. That is, the nefesh is from Asiyah, the ruach is from Yetzirah, and the neshama is from Beriah. Sometimes, though, this nefesh, ruach, and neshama can be from the malchut, the zeranpin, and the ima of Asiyah. That is, all three are from within Asiyah. What will follow are other possible combinations. Sometimes the three of them will be from Yetzirah, or from the world of Beriah, or all of them will be from Atzilut. In the latter case, the Nefesh will be from the Nukva of Zeranpin, the Malchut of Atzilut, the Ruach from Zeranpin, the Yetzirah of Atzilut, or the Neshama from Ima, the Bina of Atzilut, and the Chaya from Abba, the Chachma of Atzilut. Another combination can be the Nefesh from Asiyah and the Ruach and Neshama from Yetzirah, or the Nefesh can be from Yetzirah and the Ruach and Neshama from Beriah. Alternatively, the Nefesh can be from Beriah, while the Ruach and Neshama are from Atzilut. This is possible because the four worlds, Atzilut, Beriah, Yetzirah, and Asiyah, are each comprised of four sub-worlds of Atzilut, Beriah, Yetzirah, and Asiyah, and their own set of 10 sephirot. These 10, in turn, are comprised of their own 10 sephirot, and so on. The general system of 10 sephirot breaks down into subsets of 10 sephirot, which in turn break down into their own subsets of 10 sephirot. And this continues ad infinitum. It is not possible to write down all the details at length, since the space is limited. However, the person of understanding will comprehend and make the connections on his own. Theoretically, subcategorization can go on ad infinitum, and the number of possible combinations is virtually limitless. My commentary. It is helpful now to contemplate all the different species of insects or fish or animals or rocks that exist in the world. Each of these relate to a sephirah. Everything in creation is created through the process of the four phases of creativity, and as such, each created thing relates to a sephirah and a world. This is important for you to learn this truth. Also, the Torah itself is composed of words and letters, which relate to a sephirah. A true Kabbalist can look at a verse in the Torah and tell you which sephirah it connects to, and also which sephirah each word and letter relate to. Of course, they will not do so, since this must be done as a person reaches a level of consciousness that allows them to perceive things in this way. However, when we get sometimes the nefesh, ruach, and neshamas from Yetzirah, or from Buriah, it does not mean that he lacks the nefesh from Asiyah. After all, even the Shekhinah is called Malchut, and it nests in Asiyah. How much more so the nefesh of a person? In other words, the Shekhinah, the divine presence, obviously belongs to a very exalted and spiritual place. Yet this does not stop it from nesting and hovering above it, about in the lowest of worlds, in the world of Asiyah, even in the world that we humans also inhabit. It is the same for souls, and even more so. The nefesh of all people comes from the world of Asiyah, as we learned beforehand. Even if it is said about it that it is a nefesh of Atzilut or a nefesh of Yetzirah. Rather, what it means is that the nefesh originated from Asiyah, but that it became so purified that it cannot be sensed in comparison to the newly acquired light of the nefesh of Yetzirah within him. It is like a candle that makes nearly no impression at all when it shines during daylight. Therefore, it is called the nefesh of Yetzirah. He has a nefesh from Asiyah, and it remains that. However, it can ascend to the world of Yetzirah above it, so that its light can become almost as bright as its level of Yetzirah. Consequently, the Asiyah light becomes non-discernible, and for all intents and purposes, it is like the nefesh of Yetzirah. It is the same for all the aspects. When we say that the nefesh, ruach, and neshama is from Atzilut, really he has a nefesh, a ruach, and neshama from Asiyah, from Yetzirah, and from Beriah, respectively. However, they are not referred to by their names, and all of them are considered secondary and referred to as being from Atzilut. Actually, the nefesh, the ruach, the neshama of Atzilut are aspects of a higher and more interior world than that of Buriah, Yetzirah, and Asiyah. Therefore, they are clothed within the worlds of Buriah, Yetzirah, and Asiyah, and shine from within them. The light of the higher entities from Atzilut may be so revealed that the lower, weaker exterior lights of Buriah, Yetzirah, and Asiyah are simply non-discernible. You can also apply this concept to any of the other details that have been mentioned. Thus, the system of levels of souls remains the same for everyone, though within the system, different combinations of souls can seem to exist based upon the individual's level of rectification and purification. This is where we will stop for tonight, and next week we will pick up Section 7, the Yibum, which is a special case. Does anyone have any questions? Our classes coming up tonight at 7 o'clock West Coast time will be a Zohar class. Thank you. can hear there's a fire alarm set off.
Attention, attention. An emergency has been reported in this building. Please cease operations and leave the building utilizing the nearest exit or fire exit stairway. Do not use elevators. Repeat, do not use elevators.
I'm not going to continue to disturbing, to distracting along with the lights flashing.
Attention. Attention.
So I wish you all to have a beautiful week. Shabbat Shalom. And hopefully you'll join us at the 7 o'clock class. Shalom to all.
Shalom. Thank you.